apparently the prisons now have armed perimeter patrols around the clock and will use random patrols instead. Russ Marlin is the spokesperson for the Department of Corrections. Russ, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Ray Holman from UAW 6000 said that this is a bad move and not safe for the communities that will lose this law enforcement.
Well, we don't think so. You know, as you indicated, 27 of our 31 prisons have these perimeter vehicles that circle our prisons right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we've asked our wardens to identify some other corrections officer who's qualified in the use of weapons to drive those patrols randomly. You know, this idea came from our wardens themselves, the men and women that have been running these prisons safely for years. And, you know, so with some of the technology advancements that we have with cameras and lights and motion sensors and electrified fences, we just feel that, you know, we got to look at everything that we spend money on, and we're not getting the value for the taxpayers on this at this particular time. So we feel we can go random patrols instead of driving them all day, every day.
So basically the same type of guard, it's going to be different. Is this a less trained person?
No, it'll be the same amount of training. Instead of driving the perimeter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, someone who may have another assignment in the prison, they may be working the front desk, they may be working in the control center, they'll go out and do those patrols randomly. The vehicle will be available should someone, you know, spot someone approaching the fence where that position, that officer could run out and get in the vehicle and respond to that.
All right. Now, I understand cost cutting. The state of Michigan has done that across the board. But I don't know how that could be as safe as having someone constantly monitor a prison situation. I know you mentioned motion sensors and electrified fences and cameras, but is that the same way we want to make sure that these communities are safe and monitor 24/7?
Well, we believe it'd actually be safer. You know, when if I'm somebody who's going to throw some drugs or contraband over a prison fence, and I'm in the bushes outside of that prison, and I see that vehicle turn the corner right now, I know that that vehicle's not going to be back around for a few minutes. With cameras, we can watch that perimeter, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and have the vehicle still available. You know, it's the same sort of argument was made by the union folks in 2005. Many of our facilities have gun towers. We used to staff those gun towers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We went to random staffing in those towers in 2005. That saved $15 million a year, and we've had no breach in public safety, no downside to that since doing that. But, you know, folks that were opposed to that were saying the same things then.
Russ, is that a problem, people throwing things over the fences, over the walls of prisons?
It is, yeah. You know, I think for folks like me and you, all of our property surrounding our prisons is marked with these bright red signs that say if you come on prison property, you'd be could be charged with a felony and, you know, probably shot. That keeps most people away and serves as a deterrent. But we do have some folks that try and throw things over the fences. You know, sometimes contraband gets into our facilities. Unfortunately, sometimes it's brought in by our staff, but sometimes it's thrown over the fence as well.
What is the status of privatization of some departments and in some instances of prisons in the state of Michigan?
Well, we have a couple of requests for proposals that are about ready to be issued to allow for some competitive bidding of certain portions of the department, our entire prisoner health care, mental health care, food service, and two correctional facilities, one in Whitmore Lake and one in outside of Chelsea. So, and we plan to issue those very soon, see what kind of response we get back to see if there's you know, some other agency or entity that could provide the service at a decreased cost for the citizens of the state.
Do you think an outside entity can provide the same kind of service as people and operators inside the state could?
Well, we'll see. You know, we've privatized all of our healthcare staff that work in the prisons. Our doctors, our physicians' assistants, nurse practitioners have been private contractors for some time. And, you know, in that regard, it really helped us. It helped us fill a lot of vacancies that we had, and we couldn't hire people into state service. You know, the state pay scale is pretty rigid. And you know, I think the company that provides these employees can have more flexibility, maybe not as offer as many benefits and a higher base pay wage, gear that pay wage regionally. They can do some things that we can't do that assist them in recruiting people to come in and perform healthcare jobs inside of our prisons, which a lot of folks in that field don't want to do.
All right, and before I let you go, what's the greatest need that the Michigan Department of Corrections has?
Well, we're actually doing pretty good right now. We're cutting a lot of money, and our prison population is dropping. In fact, we just got our recent recidivism numbers. And
what's that at?
We're at 31.5%. So that's quite a bit lower than the national average. We were at 32.3%, which was the seventh lowest in the country.
And what exactly does that mean?
That means 31.5% of everyone released from prison is back in prison within 3 years. So about less than a third.
And how many prisoners are you incarcerated at this time?
Approximately 43,000.
Okay. All right, Russ, we could talk to you for hours, but we got to move forward. I know you do, too. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tony.